Prison Colony Resistance is brought to you by Sam and the Maxman Productions. Welcome to Prison Colony Resistance. We are not coming to you from Panama, though. We are coming to you from the prison colony. That's right, Australia. This is the Vaxman coming back for episode 3 of Prison Colony Resistance. And I'm here with the co-host, illustrious co-host extraordinaire, Sam. Are you in the house, Sam?
I'm right here. That is a wonderful introduction, one that I truly appreciate.
Ah, thank you, Sam. You deserve it.
Maybe a little overstated, but you know what? I'll take it.
That's what I heard in the comments on our feed over at our Telegram channel. We do have a Telegram channel. What's the name of that, Sam?
It's called Prison Colony Resistance Podcast. Just do a search for it and join, where you'll find some comedic shenanigans every day. Nothing too serious, but we also do try to touch on some serious things as well.
We'll throw in some posts that we'll be probably referring to in the show. We'll mention stuff that was interesting to us. We'll put that all in the Telegram channel. So come and join us there. You can also send us an email, prisoncolonyresistance@protonmail.com. All one word, prisoncolonyresistance@protonmail.com. So any ideas for shows, any discussions that you want us to mention, anything that you want to hear about, you want to learn about that's happening in the prison colony, just let us know and we'll do our best to accommodate, and we shall take requests.
Yeah, or if you have lost your job through these mandates, or you have been injured by these shitty vaccines, please, we would love to have you on our show. And we will do everything we can to accommodate you.
Yes, let's get some more information out there, because it's not just the Vax Man and Sam that this is happening to. It's happening across a wide area of Australia. All the major cities have been hit by mandates, I believe.
Every single one.
Even like the more regional ones. I thought, you know, Cairns in the Northern Territory, I thought they get spared. Like, there's like 100,000 people in Cairns or something. Who's going to care if they're mandated?
Well, it's Christmas, man. It's the season of giving. So, you know, this is the government's gift to the people of Australia.
Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanda. Happy Everything Day. Here's your booster and a couple of shots to go with that.
Yep. Come back for your fourth and your fifth.
I think we're probably the only country where we can say that our prime minister and our state premiers have bought us shots at the bar.
Well, I mean, what have we got? A population of 26.5 million people here in Australia, and we have purchased 281 million vaccines.
Wait a minute, let me do some maths there. Carry the one. Quick, how many shots is that per person?
I think it's around 10.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So there you go, everyone. We are going to be boosted to the max. We're going to be able to like get your own Wi-Fi on your own boosting frequency. That is crazy. 10 shots per person is what they're expecting.
It's a guesstimate, but yes, 281 million doses of vaccine is what this country has purchased.
Wow. My goodness. And I imagine they're keeping them in some deep underground frozen pit with, like, what do they have to be set at? -67 Celsius, I believe.
Nah, man, this is Australia, man. They just chuck it in the Esky and she'll be right.
A couple of ice cubes with it, you'll be all right.
That's it.
Oh, so there it is. That's how we do it down here. It's Christmas down here in the lucky country. So how's your Christmas been, Sam?
Christmas has been, you know, pretty good, all things considering. Did you get up to much over Christmas?
Not really. I to tell you the truth, I focused on the home. I got the shed done, so that was a massive accomplishment. I don't know if there's any shed owners out there in our listening world, but once a man gets chaos, That is the shed that they inherit when they move into a new house. And they turn that chaos into order, like a beautiful sort of order, like bikes lined up perfectly, gardening area for the wife, perfect area for the kids and their toys. You know, everything's like, immaculate. I know it only lasts like 20 seconds before it gets destroyed again, but those are the happiest 20 seconds of Christmas 2021.
Wow, that sounds like a very nice Christmas. You know, I was a little bit disappointed myself because I would have loved to have spent a little bit of Christmas time with our own Nicola Spurrier, but she didn't seem to want to have a bar of anything.
What?
So first up, if this is me, I'll be looking at having an outdoor Christmas, well ventilated. I would also be making sure that people are not coming if they have any symptoms at all. I personally would not want anyone unvaccinated coming to my Christmas party. And that's probably, you know, about where,
but seriously, you've got to be kidding me.
Wow. Well, that takes a weight off my mind, Sam, because I was getting offended. I thought I haven't been invited to Nicola's Christmas party. I was wondering, where's my invite? What happened?
Well, you didn't get the shots, mate. You are just nothing but a lonely leper cast aside on Christmas.
That is I. Sadly, the unvaccinated.
That's right. I mean, I don't know what she's worrying about. If she's vaccinated, what should it matter?
Sam, we all know that in order for my vaccine to work, you have to get vaccinated. And your vaccine has to not work, so another person has to get vaccinated so that our vaccines can then work, Sam.
So this is where I'm going wrong. Okay. So instead of living my life, we're doing a podcast about this. Yeah, I knew my life went wrong somewhere.
But Sam, you may wonder, like, these vaccines, right? We know that everyone's telling us that they're safe and effective. For example, I also have Dr. Spurrier giving us some advice. So our health officer down here in Adelaide, and this is what she said, everyone. Let me see if I can cue it up for you. It's a little ad that they play for us down here in the prison colony.
South Australians have done a great job at keeping our state safe from COVID-19. Now it's time to get vaccinated, because here are the facts. COVID-19 vaccines have been tested, reviewed and approved in exactly the same way as all other vaccines. They're close to 90% effective in reducing symptoms and preventing hospitalisation and death. Vaccines do not have late onset side effects, and COVID vaccines are no different. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and book your appointment at covidvaccine.sa.gov.au.
So what are you waiting for, Sam? Get the facts and get the vax.
Obviously, I've been a little lax on getting the facts before getting the vax, and well, that's clearly on me.
They've been safe, they've been tested, and they've been approved in the exact same way that every other vaccine has, except that's a bald-faced lie, because they're still in the experimental phase.
But that's what this government is very, very good at, is just lying straight to the people's face. They're actually getting better and better at this by the day. And the scary thing is, man, people are actually eating this up. You know, the lines at vaccination clinics are around corners. They are lining up for miles just to get their third whack.
And people are complaining. People are saying, I've been in line for 8 hours. I've been in line for 12 hours. Sorry, in the queue for 12 hours. It's my American
and
coming up.
That's it's hard to turn off. Don't worry about it, mate. The lies that just keep pummeling out of this propaganda machine, it never ceases to amaze me, but it does.
But then what happens? So. What I understand, right? So you have decided, oh my God, I have a runny nose. It could be the Delta or it could be the Omicron. Hopefully it's neither and I'm safe and it's just a cold, but I have to make sure. So let me go to a pop-up tent in the middle of a parking lot next to some field somewhere with people who are paid about $20 an hour to stick a cotton swab on a Q-tip pole up your nose. very close to your pineal gland.
Effectively, yes, that's basically what happens.
Then if you get notified that you're positive, then that activates some sort of AI in the state government's web servers. And that AI then finds your pings, where you've been in the last 4 days, and matches it to every other person that QR coded to enter that same establishment. Then they get sent text to tell them that they have to isolate as well and stay home for about 2 weeks. And how many people are staying home now because of this out of control AI / testing regimen?
Well, I think we have, at last count, there are, and the magic number is 4,767 people in forced isolation, courtesy of this government. A lovely little Christmas New Year's gift.
During the Christmas season of 2021. Yes. Wow.
Merry Christmas. Get fucked.
So obviously we know in order to reduce all this, in order to get our freedoms back, we need to get vaccinated. So we now know that New South Wales, for example, a sister state, Sydney is in New South Wales. They have a 90% double vax rate, I believe. They have an 90% double vaxxed, something like that, single vaxxed. Obviously, you have to be single vaxxed to get double vaxxed, so it's a little bit higher. And then you talk about your boosted, I think it's in the 64%. However, New South Wales, with all of this testing that's happening, has contracted 6,062 cases in 1 day.
Wow. Cases. And what are they using to test them with? Are they still using the PCR down here?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think they are. I think they are using the PCR test. Victoria had almost 2,800, 2,738. Queensland, 1,158. South Australia, almost 1,000, 987. West Australia had nothing. And McGowan's freaking out. He wants to vaccinate everyone, including the babies, I think.
Yeah, man. This dude's hardcore. Absolutely.
So you can see that these vaccinations, they reduce the severity of the cold.
Well, let's have a listen to what our premier is saying about the I think his words are vaccination regime.
Oof.
Yeah,
it is a very much less severe form of the disease than all other versions that we've had previously. We can see that with the percentage of people going into hospitals. The problem with this particular variant is that the vaccine regime that we've had in place to date doesn't hold up. Many people have waning immunity from their very early AstraZeneca shots, and that's why we're very keen for those people in particular to come forward immediately and to make sure that they can get that booster as quickly as possible. Then from the 4th of January, get those booster shots into as many arms as possible.
So there we have it.
So what I take from that press conference from the Premier of South Australia, I think his name is Stephen Marshall. Just look up fuckface on Google and he'll pop up. I think he's your first hit. Sorry. Should be more respectful to state premieres, as I was taught by my lovely grandmother.
Is this class as slander?
Is he a fuckface? Is that the truth? I think truth is a defense for slander.
That's the truth. So you know, let's roll with fuckface.
So he's looking very dapper in a suit. But what I took from that was, number one, we now are entering the Omicron, which is more virulent, but less severe. So it transmits a lot easier, but doesn't hit you as hard. It's just the sniffles. No. Runny nose.
But we should still rush out and grab our third shot.
Get boosted. Even though the two vaccines that you originally put into your system are no longer effective at all against the new variant.
Especially the AstraZeneca, because clearly he's worried about that. You know, they bought a bunch of dodgy fucking vaccines, man. Mm. AstraZeneca being one of them. So we better fucking juice them up with some, you know, top shelf Pfizer.
It's gathering dust in the back room. They're worried about, paying, what's that called when you do your taxes at the end, like you devalue all your goods, try to get them off your this last year financial period into next year's financial period.
In my house, I am not the Minister of Finance. If I was in charge of the finances, mate, we'd be living in a cardboard box.
I thought that's what I was looking at. I thought that's your background. Oh, no, sorry, Sam. That's your living room.
It's a screensaver. I'm very sensitive about this.
So these vaccines are no longer effective against the new variant. And we know that the variants keep coming. So they haven't stopped. So already I'm not sold. Number two, they're waning. So you did say that they're waning if you got early, mm-hmm. and then he pinpointed AstraZeneca, but the waning mm-hmm. part is common for all of them. Mm-hmm. And he still wants you to get boosted, but the booster is exactly the same vaccine content as the vaccines that are not effective against this variant, right?
Pretty much. And look, if you're still a little bit unclear on how this Omicron version is working for you, let's have Nicholas Spurrier explain it to you.
Oh, thank you.
We're learning more about this new variant all the time. And when you consider a virus, there's two things that mean that it can infect people and the speed with which it passes through your community. And one of them is the intrinsic transmissibility or the biology of that particular virus. And the other is, how good does the vaccine work? And what we're learning about with Omicron is, as the Premier said, it has this immune escape. So with the particular vaccines that we now are using with Pfizer, AstraZeneca and Moderna, Omicron does not protect you as well, and it means that it can be transmitted more quickly. But what we do know, the really good news is that with three doses, that gives you about the same protection as two doses with the Delta variant. So what we're needing to do now is put absolutely everything, every effort we can in our state to get the third dose into everybody as quickly as possible. And as the Premier said, if you haven't even had your first dose, you've really got to get in and get it done quickly now so that you can line up yourself for those three doses.
So clearly, that's going to make things a little bit clearer for you.
Oh, well, now I am schooled. Thank you, Dr. Spurrier. My mind is clear.
No, come on, mate. Show a bit of respect. It's Professor Spurrier.
My bad. Professor Spurrier, I'm there. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, I'm in the queue for 8 hours. I'm going to start lining mm-hmm. up at 6 a.m. to get that pole put up my nose. And as soon as I get my test results at 10 p.m., I'm going to call South Australia Health, and I'm going to book my vaccine for the 11 p.m. slot, and I'm going to get onto the boosters. And I'm going to get 3-for-1. I'm just going to do 3 in 1 day, and then I'm safe.
Oh man, that is some forward thinking shit there, mate. That is
gotta be safe.
I'm glad I'm sitting down because I am impressed.
Now there has been a lot of new restrictions that have come in, particularly to the state of South Australia. New South Wales is, despite the high case count, the premier there is saying that they're not going to go into restrictions. He's full on committed to not locking down the state again.
No, they're not locking them down, but QR codes are back, masks are back. They basically had, I don't know, a week of a reprieve before they, jammed them back on again.
And there are viral videos of cops going into New South Wales, Sydney stores and the shopping centers and asking people for their vaccine passport to show them on their phone, and intimidating cashiers, acting like customers that haven't scanned in to see if they're confronted by store owners. All of these have been viral videos on the social media. So we know that New South Wales, the premier at least wants to keep it cool for a while. However, in South Australia, that is not the case. New restrictions came in midnight Boxing Day, I believe, or December 27th. Mm-hmm. Restrictions came in.
That is correct. If you were planning a large New Year's Eve party, cancel those plans because you can only have 10 people in your house.
10 people over New Year's people. And Christmas.
And, if you go out for a meal and a drink, guess what? Can't have a drink at the bar anymore. You have to sit down. You cannot stand. You cannot stand up and have a drink. You must not sing, and you cannot dance.
So those restrictions on private gatherings in your own home have now come into place over the Christmas 2021 and New Year's 2021 season. Imagine that some government official tells you, sorry, auntie and uncle that are coming in from Brizzy, that has to get canceled because there's a flu out there called the Omicron and it might give you the sniffles. And we know that it might be deadly because we have seen one death, despite almost being at 1,000 cases in one day. We've seen one death, and we're not sure if it was because of the COVID Omicron variant, because she was 94 years old, and the coroner still expecting a death report.
And we certainly don't make light of this, because that is a loved one, and a family is no doubt grieving, and our condolences go out to them.
Absolutely. But it is a shame that such a tragedy has been used by the state government to now ramp up such restrictions, ruin people's Christmases and New Year's and celebrations. And that's even if you can get to where you're going, because how many flights were canceled in Australia? Virgis and Qantas canceled something like 4,500 flights.
Wow.
Yeah, something like flight cancellations, Australia, airport chaos in Melbourne on Christmas Eve. At least 14 Jetstar and Qantas flights between Sydney and Melbourne have been removed on Friday. So people are trapped in the airports. Your restrictions are increasing. The amount of people allowed into your homes is getting less and less. And yet, it's the festive season, and we should all be happy go lucky.
Oh, yeah. We are the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
We had somebody who's very close to the show. We mentioned her a lot. She also happens to be a prime minister of a neighboring country of New Zealand. I'm sure you've heard of her. Prime Minister Ardern.
Mm-hmm. Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda to her friends. Yes, we do call her, hey, Big J. Big J had a wedding recently. Did you know that, Sam?
I did not know this.
And she invited a performer.
who was the unlucky person?
Well, I'm not quite sure. But thousands of Kiwis, right, are stopped from coming home for Christmas by the Ardern regime. Now, she is a premier that has emphasized that she doesn't
Prime
care.
Prime Minister.
She does not care. She's going to get this vaccine into your body, despite the Nuremberg Code, despite protections against forced against your consent and all those other rules in medicine. She is going to put this into your veins. She is so concerned with the rules and regulations and restrictions that she has become sort of like a reign of terror onto herself. So she changes the laws daily almost. And for some unexplainable reason, an inexplicable miracle happened when a performer, Lord, I believe is her name, was able to completely avoid the COVID MIQ requirements into New Zealand, so getting injected like other people need, and that this allowed her to somehow make it to Jacinda Ardern's wedding and perform.
Wow. And, now, if I was skeptical, I would say, you've got to be kidding me. But, you know, well, no, seriously, though, rules for some, rules for another. This is becoming more and more frequent.
Yeah. Rules for thee, but not for me. Absolutely.
So that's the one.
That's the one. There's been other rules that have come into place. Something also very festive for the holiday season. Sorry, everyone, we're bringing you such bad news during the holidays. But apparently you can't visit your dying loved ones anymore in any hospitals.
No, hospital visitors have been banned. No visiting people allowed by the bedside of their loved ones. So not only are they struggling with a physical ailment, now their mental health is also being targeted by this tyrannical government. I mean, to be denied visitation, they're not in jail, they are a patient in a hospital.
But if you're double vaxxed, you can see them, right?
No, all visitors are banned. It doesn't even matter.
But that's the reason that I was going to get double vax, Sam, so that I can once again rejoin society and enter the hospitals and see my loved ones.
But this is what happens. They promise you something, they give you a little bit, then they take it away and stamp down harder on your throat.
It's a clown world, Sam, which is why I'm so happy.
It certainly is.
Now, something else from the hospitals, this comes to us from also from New Zealand. So New Zealand now has okayed euthanasia, ending the suffering of the elderly, I guess, who are, you know, suffering in their last throes of life, but they can now get euthanized if they are COVID. So COVID positive patients can now be euthanized in New Zealand.
How very generous.
So the Omicron is a stuffy nose, sniffles, mm-hmm. a headache, mm-hmm. a sore throat, maybe a mm-hmm. bit of a fever. So if mm-hmm. you have any of those symptoms and you're now COVID mm-hmm. and the doctor mm-hmm. says, oh yeah, yeah, why not? You can now get sent off to meet Mr. Reaper.
Wow. If you get COVID and you want to end it, then please, by all means, check out.
But what about the vax? What about the boosters? I'm protected, right? No. My goodness.
Yeah, you're protected. Sure you are.
I think I found this at Pauline Hanson. Now, Pauline Hanson is kind of an infamous politician down here in the lucky country. So she wrote, and I thought it was quite a kind of humorous, and this kind of encapsulates the madness that has become the vaccination experience if you're on the outside looking in like we are. Like the people who are already been vaccinated, they've gone down this rabbit trail, and we don't know what's in their thinking, what logic they're trying to use to process all of this, you know, madness that's around them, that's coming from our state governments and our Commonwealth government. But for us looking in, we see this doublespeak, and we make podcasts about it, because what else can we do? It's crazy. So Pauline Hanson, I found this on her site. It says, the third dose increases immunity. So after the fourth dose, you are protected. Once 80% of the population has received the fifth dose, the restrictions can be relaxed as the sixth dose stops the virus from spreading. I am calm, and I believe that the seventh dose will solve our problems, and we have no reason to fear the eighth dose. The clinical phase of the ninth dose confirms that the antibodies remain stable after the 10th dose, and the 11th dose guarantees that no new mutations will develop. So there's no longer any reason to criticize the idea of the 12th dose. So,
we're up to 12 now. No, she does have a good sense of humor about her, and good on her.
And that's about it. Like more doses, and everyone's just like, okay, all right, I got waning immunity.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had an interesting conversation today with two family members of on my wife's side, both double vaccinated. And I was listening to the conversation, and I just couldn't, I interjected, and I put forward all these alternate views that I it's an alternate view, obviously, because it goes against the newspaper and the media and everything. And while they listened, they didn't call me crazy. They didn't say, oh, you're an absolute nutter, you're an anti-vaxxer, blah, blah, blah. They listened. But you could see that it didn't absorb, right? Everything that I was telling them. You know, you've got Gibraltar at 100% vaccination rates with cases still going through the roof. Same with Israel. The penny didn't drop.
It's the Omicron.
Well, maybe I should be locked up this week if I've been in close contact now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm stressing out. I'm freaking out, man.
I agree. I've tried to have similar conversations, and I try to be as polite as possible, very soft-spoken, go in with, like, you know, some facts and figures, and from I got this from this government website, and I got these stats from this study and that kind of thing. But like you said, I get the blank looks and the then you're tuned out, and they go back to wherever they get their sources of information from.
Pretty much. And, you know, this was also the first time, you know, over the last 8 weeks, this was the first time that I've actually told someone that I've been sacked for not taking the vaccine. And I thought that was very interesting. I definitely felt supported, like I was not berated for my choice, which was nice. But I think it's a good step to start, you know, don't be ashamed of what you've done, and your integrity is what makes you. So seriously, own it, you know.
Absolutely. No, to have the courage to take that stand, like this is not something that you want put into your body, and you're not gonna, you know, take this employment, this like money you're putting in my hand as a compensation for my health.
Yeah, but I had to be a little bit careful about, you know, I didn't go, you know, full on Adam, because they both have been double jabs. So, you know, I don't want to scare them. You know, they're in their nice little happy, comfy place where, you know, daddy government would never do anything to hurt you.
Yes. We have a politician here. His name is Ricardo Bossi. He's getting a lot of traction. He's gone to a lot of rallies. He's very anti-vax, very pro-choice. He was an ex-colonel, I believe, in the...
a military man.
Yeah, and a very commanding figure. Now, he is kind of on the fringe spectrum of politics, but he's gathering a lot of people around him. And basically, he has said that you basically just have to stop. You just have to say enough is enough. However, I don't think that he considers some of those positions, like you said, like the ones you're mentioning, like, yeah, the government doesn't lie to us. You know, it's a good government and we've had it so good for the last, you know, 50 years. And why would they lie to us?
Yeah, absolutely. We've never had our liberties and our freedom, questioned. You know, we have always been the lucky country, and people just, there's a veil over their eyes. They can't see what's going on. They will.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. By the time it will be too late for them, because, you know, in all seriousness, they will be lining up for their fifth and sixth, and, you know, the penny might drop, but it will happen.
We hope so. Because, Ricardo Bossi says that the trust that the Australian people have in their government is quite sound, and it's quite robust. Mm. But he also says that it might be to their detriment at this point in time, because such trust has led them to put an experimental mRNA gene therapy that is doing God knows what into their veins, into their blood, for a reason that is very suspect and makes no sense looking out from the outside in.
Yeah.
So, like you said, people will wake up. So he's also saying that he's wondering if it might be a bit too late when people wake up. But I have another proposal for you, Sam. Like, it's not all about politics. It's not all about people yelling at you and telling you you're wrong and this is the facts and that's the facts. Like, you also have to live life, right? You have to go to work, you have to wake up, you have to shower, you have to brush your teeth, you have to go shopping for food, you have to eat, use the toilet, all those things that we do. So when you go to work, right, they tell you, and this happened to you, Sam, they say, if you want to keep working in the hospital, you are going to have to be double vaccinated, because the vaccine stops the transmission, and we cannot have you transmitting the virus at that point, the Delta, we can't have you transmitting the Delta to our patients. So therefore you need to get this vaccine.
Hey, but my organization, they were very, very thorough in their vaccination policy, because they actually put in any required booster shots that come along, you must take them.
That's some foresight right there.
There's some sneaky little fuckery going on there, that's for sure.
So you do the double, like you didn't, Sam. So we appreciate your integrity and your commitment to your values and your principles. But some of your coworkers may not have had such principles or such dedication to them, and they decided to get double vaxxed to keep their job. And once they have their job and they're double vaxxed, they can no longer transmit. However, this was a memo sent by someone And I found it on the social media, so take it as you will, but it sounds pretty real.
Everything I read on social media.
This is from an old workmate. So this is the person who wrote the post, an old workmate who got sent this from the agency that he works at. So this is probably some sort of recruitment agency that they apply to, and then the hospitals contact that agency, and then they send out workers to the hospitals. I'm figuring from the tone of this this memo. So the memo reads, "Hi all, we have had a staff member test positive. Therefore, we all must do the following." And this is what they have to do. Now, Sam, tell me if this rings true for 2020. Is this something that you did in 2020 before we had vaccines, before we really knew what this thing was about, when we were just discovering what the coronavirus was? Wear full PPE staff as trained. Wear full PPE as trained to.
You mean they're wearing it for a whole shift? From start to finish? No.
They have to enter the door through the basement where they don the PPE, and they have to exit through the loading dock where they doff the PPE and put into yellow bags.
Okay.
Wow. So an all day long thing.
Wow. This is bad. This is madness.
Plastic suit all day long. During your shift at some hospital, right? And you've seen those plastic suits. I'm sure we're all familiar with them.
Oh, yeah.
What I think about is that old movie E.T. Remember E.T.? And the guys were experimenting on E.T.? So they have to do that. They also remember their hand hygiene. Don't touch their masks and face shields. No visitors are allowed entry to the home. No one can enter this home. It's like an aged care
facility. Yeah.
No staff member to come through the front door. They can only come in through the loading dock or the basement to put on their PPE.
Wow.
Staff that drive, be careful on the ramp as people will be walking up and down. Oh, makes sense. All staff meals must use disposable items for packing only. Oh. You have to maintain, even though you have this PPE, you have to maintain 1.5 meter staff distance in the staff room. You cannot carpool to work. So this is a memo, and it keeps going. Wipe the Kronos cloth after you use it with Oxivir wipes and hand gel. I'm not sure what this means. S-I-N-E, sign in app to be used on your phone where possible, but not at reception. And ensure you take your temperature at the start of every shift without fail. Those measures are to protect you and the residents.
Well, I can touch on the temperature thing, because for a good 6 or 7 months, we had to have our temperature taken upon entry to our work site. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Little gun pointed at your head. If you're above 37.5, they send you home. Go get a test.
Wow. Mm-hmm. On top of the QR code that you told us about in episode 2.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Incredible. So those are your hospitals now. Even though you're double vaxxed, you still have to do all this in an aged care home, according to this memo that got leaked. So there you go. Get vaccinated, get your safety, get your boosters, get your freedoms, all of that.
Get your life back, clearly.
Get your life back. And now proof is in the pudding. Hindsight is 2020. None of that happened. And we're not conspiracy theorists. We're not talking about something we think is going to happen. We are reflecting on the past, something that already has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Yet the boosters continue to be the narrative. So now it's everyone get your boosters. This thing is out of control. Only the booster is going to stop it. And who's next, Sam? Who's next on the firing line? Well,
it's got to be those. It's got to be those filthy children.
Those super spreaders.
They're filthy, filthy fuckers. they are, the most contagious little shits going around.
They're just walking virus machines.
I don't want to be anywhere near a child in the 5 to 11 age group at the moment.
No way. Little walking Omicron vectors.
Oh, too risky. Too risky.
So the therapeutic goods administration, which is kind of like the Australia's FDA, like they make sure that
man. I hate the TGA, seriously. There is so much wrong with the TGA. It's not even, you know, this can be a little segment for next week's show. I think we need to touch on that, because they are as corrupt as they come.
And so the TGA,
let's talk about that next week.
Yeah, so they approved for the vaccines to be available for 5 to 11-year-olds. And they did this in early December. Like, this was just before school break happened. I think the last day of school was the 13th of December. And so that Sunday before is when they approved, Sunday the 5th of December. So the 5th of December on a Sunday. What regulatory agency meets on a Sunday to approve that this can now get made available to 5 to 11-year-olds? On a Monday, yeah. General Fruin. So he's the guy who has been tasked by ScoMo, our prime minister, to get this injection into people like Sam and the Vax Man, the unvaccinated. He comes on and he says that his next task is to make sure that this vaccine gets put into the 5 to 11-year-olds.
I'm so glad the military is now making health decisions for us. I feel a lot safer.
So made available, right? So made available doesn't mean mandated, right? It's not mandated yet, I guess, but in New South Wales, I think they said that in order for you to finish your year 12, you had to be double vaxxed. That sounds like a mandate to me.
This is true. See, the thing is, you know, and with the upcoming election, Scott Morrison will say, I never made anything mandatory in regards to the COVID vaccine. However, he did deputize industry and corporations to put these mandates in place. So effectively, he took the coward's way out and he let others do the dirty work.
And remember, this is the Commonwealth government, the government head, the prime minister, who has all the facilities available that the government has. He has all the money in the world to hire lawyers to sue the state premiers for breaching Section 109 of the Commonwealth Constitution, which is the inconsistency of laws section. Any law of the state that is inconsistent with a Commonwealth law shall be struck down. The Biosecurity Act 2015 of the Commonwealth is very clear in what needs to be done for anybody to be issued an order to comply with some sort of vaccine. It has to be an individualized order on a special type of document sent to one person in particular, signed by the chief health officer or one of his minions at this point, Greg Hunt. So that has to happen in the Biosecurity Act, but they just kept silent about the Biosecurity Act and the inconsistency of these mandates according to the Emergency Management Acts of these states. So that took precedence, and the prime minister said nothing. Just let it happen.
He's good like that. He's very consistent in that way.
So he, like you said, he can say, I didn't mandate anything. I even said in a couple of news conferences, I don't think it should be mandated. So he's going to get brownie points for that. But here we have an article in the Brisbane Times that says COVID-19 vaccine bookings to open for Queensland children age 5 to 11 starting on the very first day that they're made available, the 10th of January.
The mind boggles, doesn't it? You know, you've just got to shake your head and wonder. Mm.
So at this point, their lies and their little tricks to get us vaccinated. All right, fine. I'm an adult, you know. If I fall for that, shame on me. Mm. But now we've seen data, lots of data come out that says that kids are not at risk for even the original strain of the coronavirus.
But surely that would be on, you know, the 6 o'clock news, the 7 o'clock news, front page of the newspaper. Mm. But they're pushing the exact opposite.
Mm.
that these kids need to be vaccinated.
And they need to be vaccinated with something that they've already told us is not effective against the Omicron. Because Pfizer hasn't come out with a new vaccine, right? And I haven't heard about it.
Wow, so, my goodness.
Now,
the media certainly has a lot to answer for.
This is madness. And I honestly think, Sam, that if they do decide to mandate this, I don't think they're going to do that before the election, before May, because that you're playing with dynamite.
I have the opinion that they will double down and they will absolutely go forth and mandate this before the school year starts. Mm.
I think you might be right. So the pessimist in me thinks you might be right. So I am advising any listeners out there that we have, especially in South Australia, to start putting in your applications for homeschooling, because they're gonna mandate this 2 days before school starts. And you're going to see queues out the door because parents don't have time to set up a homeschool to get their kids out of harm's way.
Yep. If you send your child to school, that is as good as consent. Mm. Especially if they come into schools and jabbing the kids.
That's a tinderbox. Mm-hmm. However, it's probably less of a tinderbox than I think, because California has mandated this. I think they did it in... if I'm not mistaken, right after that re-election that brought Gavin Newsom back in, that happened sometime in October, early November. And as soon as he came back, he mandated it for all primary school kids. Wow. In order to attend school, you had to get vaccinated with this shit.
Wow.
And now the New Orleans, I saw this article.
I saw that.
The New Orleans confirms vaccine mandate for 5 to 11-year-olds from January. And here's a little surprise. Here's Tedros. He's got a little bit of a Freudian slip right here.
It's emerging now of its benefits, especially with elderly groups, senior citizens, especially above 65 and above 60. So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is not right.
So he says, save the vaccine for your up to 65. But as we've seen, some countries have used the boosters to kill the children, and that's not right.
Rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children.
Little Freudian slip.
I think he was just hoping he would say that and no one would pick up on it. Not in this day and age. But again, that certainly didn't make the 6 o'clock news.
So the media has been quite complicit in this whole regime of tyranny and oppression that they put upon us. What do you think, Sam? What's at play there?
It depends who's funding them, really. Depends what kind of perks they're getting. Now, has the government brought in some kind of subsidy for the media?
It's funny you ask, Sam. But I have heard that there's a commercial broadcasting tax rebate that is levied on transmitter licenses associated with commercial broadcasting licenses. And supposedly, the Vaxman has heard on the grapevine that if you give positive spin coverage to the COVID vaccines and the government's orders and mandates, you can rake up to $50 million in tax rebates from your governments.
February 2020, the Australian government announced commercial television and radio broadcasters like Channel 9, Channel 7, and Channel 10, just to name a few, in return for reporting more exclusively on COVID-19, they would receive 100% tax rebates for 12 months on their commercial broadcasting. The rebate provided the commercial broadcasting sector with $41 million in tax relief. But this didn't happen with the smaller independent journalists covering all angles of the COVID agenda. Ping program, known as the Public Interest News Gathering, received another $50 million. This program aimed to support high-quality news in regional and remote areas of Australia.
Wow. That's just
no vested interest.
Out and out propaganda, this is, isn't it?
And like you're right, we do not hear any dissenting voice on the commercial media. The commercial media, no. Commercial mainstream media is airlocked.
It certainly is. And this is going to bring me into the second ever Sam SmackDown.
Oh, the SmackDown.
Did you enjoy last week? Did you like last week's?
I loved it, Sam. I love you getting down and dirty, smacking down the chos and the medical field. Oh, that was nice.
All right. Well, let's take aim, shall we? Shall I fire away?
Let's do it.
It is not the truth that matters, but victory. Adolf Hitler. It is not often that I would delve into the archives and pull out an Adolf Hitler quote, but considering the theme to this week's SmackDown, I thought it was most appropriate. It was a tough choice this week, as there were many contenders to pick from, having so many inept clowns in the colony, and as we mark down another etching in the wall to record how long this shitshow continues, I present this week's SmackDown to the media. So let's start at the beginning, before the colony went into lockdowns and the good people of this country were muzzled for their own protection. All around the world, we were given exclusive footage of bodies dropping in the streets of China, apartment complexes being boarded up and residents locked in, and huge hospital and quarantine facilities being erected in record time. And the once secretive communist nation of China was very generous in the footage they supplied. How very convenient. We then moved on to the countdown before COVID-19 hit the shores of the prison colony. And once it did, we went on a 24/7 COVID watch. Countdown of cases and lives lost. Lives lost with COVID, not of COVID. But that fact did not need to be distinguished. You were with us during the first lockdown, telling us how unsafe it was to go outside, for the fear of dropping dead was just too much. Like a friend that enables a habit, you fed our fear from the very beginning. And anyone that dared speak out against the narrative you were pushing, no matter how cohesively or eloquently it was put, you labelled them as far-right, tinfoil hat-wearing, anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorists. You stayed with us for months on end, feeding us never-ending press conferences from the prison colony and around the world. And as the masses became hooked on your broadcasting drug, you hooked them in for life when you promised the vaccine. There are so many corrupt avenues of this arm of the propaganda machine, from planting crisis actors in hospitals, reusing smoking commercials from the early 90s with a guy on a ventilator, to straight-out lies. Journalistic integrity has long been dead. And again, those that speak out are discredited and silenced. To suggest the media is innocent and naive in this pandemic of lies and conflict of interest would be like saying water isn't wet. You only have to look at Channel 9's ad campaign to get the job done and get vaccinated. Peter Costello, a non-executive chairman of Nine Entertainment, big deal, I hear you say. Well, perhaps. But he is also chairman of the boards of the Guardians of the Future Fund, an Australian government investment fund with over $2 billion worth of shares in pharmaceutical and vaccine manufacturers, including CSL, J&J, Pfizer, and Merck. They made $1 billion in profit since the start of COVID-19. Nine Entertainment also owns newspapers who are instrumental in anti-vax labelling. I'm sure you will not see this on the 6 p.m. news or see it in your Facebook feed, and that the paid shills who have sold their souls pushing this narrative, your names and reports will not be forgotten. As I started with a quote from such a tyrannical overlord, I'd like to end one with a man filled with hope. Oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. The yearning for freedom eventually manifests itself. Media, this is your SmackDown.
Oh yeah, baby. Ooh, Sam SmackDown right there in the house. How you feeling, Sam?
I'm feeling good.
Feel lighter?
I feel better. Got that off my chest.
Nice. All right. I like that. The smackdown of the media. Now, there was a lot of Easter eggs in there. You mentioned, you went deep. Not only the actors in the hospital, that was a classic. In case anyone was wondering what that was referring to, I remember that PSA put out by our Commonwealth government, some lady mm-hmm. with a tube coming out of her mouth or her nose, mm-hmm. gasping mm-hmm. for air. And it turns out it was a recycled smoking
commercial.
PSA.
That's right.
That yes. they just found it somewhere and put it on and said, oh, this is COVID.
Good enough. Near enough.
And you see stuff like that from the media, from the government, all just paraded out and just accepted. The clips that we've played you today, that's just a very sampling of the 24/7 bombardment of ridiculousness that we are subjected to here in the prison colony. You think we're just kind of a bit out there. You think we're crazy. You think we're conspiracy theorists calling out an effective government policy on epidemiology. But no. We're telling you, every single press conference, that babble that you heard from our chief health officers and premiers and prime ministers, that is our information that we are supposed to take on board to make rational decisions. Huh?
And a lot of people take it as gospel. They really do.
A bit too many. It's quite worrisome.
Yeah, they wouldn't know how to, you know, alternatively search for something that's not on Google, that's not on YouTube, that's not on Facebook.
I guess an anecdote on those lines. We were supposed to have a barbecue with our neighbor. Like I said, I just finished the sheds. We moved into a new neighborhood. And, you know, we're meeting the neighbors and our next door neighbors right across the street. They invited us to a barbecue and they said, why don't you come over for barbecue in January, like the 3rd of January or something like that. We'll make blah, blah, blah. And we're like, yeah, of course. So the restrictions, like we mentioned, changed a couple of days ago at midnight on the 27th of December. Now you can only have 10 people in a gathering in a private residence. So the very next day, or that same day, this 27th of December, before they came into place, our neighbor's wife, our neighbor, I guess, she came and said, hey, listen, we're gonna have to kind of pull back the barbecue because we had invited this neighbor and that neighbor and this neighbor, but we're gonna have to just make it less than 10. So with U4 and R4, that's 8. We might be able to invite a couple more people, but just to let you know. And we're just like, what? Who the fuck cares? It's a barbecue outside in a neighborhood with your neighbors. Nobody has. Ugh, it just drives me nuts, mate. Drives me nuts. Yeah, I can't take it anymore.
Well, you're going to have to strap yourself in because it's going to be a very bumpy 2022.
You think it'll be worse than 2021?
The optimist in me would like to say it's got to be better. The realist, the realist in me. I mean, look, credit to the media. Their stamina for covering this has been phenomenal.
Mm. They haven't stopped. They haven't let up.
They have not. And yeah, it's impressive. It's scarily impressive.
And they have to they have to juggle so many balls. Like we've seen, they have to say that the vaccines are not effective for the Omicron, but mm-hmm. you should get the boost, which is the exact same thing as the vaccines, because the boost will be effective for the Omicron, even though two of the boosts is not effective, but three of that same one is effective. And if you haven't vaccinated yet, even though the vaccines that you might be getting will not protect you from the Omicron, you should still get them anyway, so that then you can be on the boost, which is not effective, but might be effective according to this person or that person or that. And what?
That's it. I mean, they're preaching to two different camps. They're pushing the vaccines on the unvaccinated. Oh, man, quick, go out and get it because it's effective. But then the double dose, they're like, oh, it's not that good. So you need to go and get a third one. And they're trying to say this in one press conference.
Mm. In the same breath.
In the same breath, man. That takes talent.
It does. Like you said, it does take talent to be able to scoop, to harvest for gold when you're literally in a coal field. Like there's no gold to be had here. It's just all coal, but they keep digging and somehow they get enough nuggets to make it fly. So like we said, we'll finish on a good note. Our elections are coming very soon. So the elections, unlike other countries, for example, in my country of the USA, I don't have to vote, Sam. I can literally on voting day say, fuck it, I'm going to watch football and just stay home, pick the lint out of my belly button, watch Joe Montana for the 49ers score another Super Bowl, you know, victory. And that's it.
There are so many things wrong with that statement. Sunday night football is on Monday here, okay? For starters.
All right.
I am an NFL fan, so you can't pull the wool over my eyes. Secondly, I don't even think it's NFL season when the election is. So I don't know what you're watching.
Maybe November, Super November.
Maybe I need to convert you to AFL. How about that?
Oh, man. If I can understand the rules, I'll try.
I'll tell you what. Look, as much as I love NFL, some of the rules, man, I find a little confusing. So you help me with NFL. I'll help you with AFL.
We'll do like a weird rule showdown. Like, this is the weirdest rule I found. Does it undo your weird rule?
All right, man. All right, let's do that.
You don't have to vote on Tuesdays. You can just stay home. However, listeners of the Prison Colony Resistance, here in the Prison Colony, you cannot stay home. You have to vote. It's part of your obligations that you've given as a citizen. And this is enforced by the Australian Electoral Commission.
You see, I've always found this strange as a democratic country that you are, again, here's that word, it's mandatory to vote. So already at the voting polls, your freedoms are taken away, because if you don't want to be there, then you shouldn't have to be. If you don't want to vote, don't vote. I personally would always vote. I will. I will not give up that right. But I know people that go into voting booths, and, you know, we call them donkey votes down here. And, you know, they'll write, you know, a fake name, or, you know, draw dicks all over them, whatever. But that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that those donkey votes go to the sitting political party who's in charge.
They do have a preferential voting system. So you put in, you have like about last election I voted, I was surprised at how many candidates there were for the House. Because I thought it'd just be like the two major candidates and like a couple independents. But there was like the weed growing party, the shooters party, the hustling on the side corner party.
You got a banner size, you know, piece of paper that you need to fill out.
You got to unfurl that thing in the booth. And then you have eight preferences, right? From one to eight. Something like that.
It's like you can do one above the line and then 35 under the line. It's not hard, but I gotta say, I haven't paid a lot of attention to politics, and that's on me, but that has changed this year, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. So these votes, like if you vote for the weed growing party and they don't get in the running, then that vote gets carried over and given to your next preference. So the next choice, and that could have been like the shooters party, and then they didn't get in the final, so it gets carried over to your next party, which is, you know, like the hustlers on the side street party. As you can see, I live a very cultured life, Sam. Shooting drugs and prostitutes, I believe, is sounds like my life right now, when I'm more of a shed guy. But and so eventually
I don't know what's going on in your shed, mate.
The one vote eventually carries over to the person who wins that, and it's usually the leading candidate from the major parties. So a vote for like independent parties usually ends up in the leading party's platform, I guess, or like in their collection of votes. And so they keep getting voted into office. But now those people that are counting your votes, Sam, have to be fully vaccinated.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
The Australian Electoral Commission have responded to an inquiry from Great Australian Party. So they wrote to the Australian Electoral Commission, and they were informed that they must be fully vaccinated to scrutineer the upcoming federal election. So anyone who is going to scrutinize the votes, count the votes, has to be fully vaccinated.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people are touching those bits of paper.
And you do want to be protected.
You know, again, this is just more fuckery from this government, isn't it? I mean, seriously, we, you know what? Bit of a crack thought. I'm going to run at the next election.
You got my vote, Sam.
That, there you go. That, here's an exclusive right here. I'm going to look into it. I'm going to see if I can run at the next election and just see how corrupt this fucking country is. And if someone like me, with a bit of ambition, bit of a potty mouth on him, can actually get voted into parliament.
Well, you're going to need 500 people to sign off, right, Sam, to get you as a member of a political party?
Well, if I join a party, that party needs at least 1,500 members. The Australian Electoral Commission changed it from 500 to 1,500 not long ago. Yes, because old Scott Morrison was getting a little worried, so he changed the rules to suit his game. So let's see. There you go. They're, you know, I stand by what I say. I'll look into it this week. And let's stay tuned, listeners.
So you heard it here, listeners. The Prison Colony Resistance Political Party has been enacted, birthed right now at this moment in time, 28th of December at 10:36 p.m. That's when we're recording this. This is a declaration from your new candidate, Sam. No, that's the president's theme.
You got the inaugural happening. Yeah, man, you need to just become a citizen of this country, I think.
I got to get schooled. I am a citizen, but citizen test literally was 20 multiple choice questions on Captain Cook, I think. That was the majority. But yeah, so there it is, everyone. That's what's happening in the prison colony this week. A little bit more madness. It's all very subtle. It's like we said in the other podcasts and the other episodes, it all happens subtly, but it's just building up slowly, slowly.
I have like a slow simmering pot.
Exactly, like a slow motion tsunami coming right at you, but you could only move in slow motion. So it's like, I guess that would be regular motion if you're both in slow motion. So what are we going to do, listeners? Are you going to help us out? Send us some getaway tickets. Oh, wait, flights are canceled. We can't leave the state. If we move to get back in, you got to be double vaxxed. You can't get into the hospitals unless you're double vaxxed. You can't count votes unless you're double vaxxed.
You can't get into hospitals at all. It doesn't matter about your status.
That's right. That's right. So come on down to the lucky country and have a wonderful Christmas vacation.
Yeah, we'll show you around.
We'll show you all the hot spots, the hot unvaxxed spots. That's where all the parties happen.
Yeah, no exposure sites. We'll stay clear.
So that's been our Christmas, and like I said, it brings us up to the 28th of December when we're recording this, and it's going into New Year. Are we going to do an episode next week, Sam?
I don't see why not. I think our listeners are depending on us.
Let's do it. So we're going to have a special New Year's episode for you. You're going to greet the New Year 2022 with Sam and the Vax Man. We'll be there with you.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be great. I'll bring the champers. You bring the sparklers.
I'll bring the pretzels, mate.
The pretzels on New Year's? What the heck? Oh,
I'm a party animal, man.
Are they salted?
Of course.
All right, okay.
Nothing but the best.
All right. As long as they're salted pretzels with champagne.
Clearly, it's getting late.
You know the craziest tradition that we used to do in New Year's when I was growing up? We used to eat grapes. You had to eat 12 grapes. Each grape had to happen at the stroke of the second. So like, you know, you have 12 strokes before midnight. Mm-hmm. So every boom, you swallowed a grape. Boom, number two. Boom, number three. And each grape was a wish that you had for the new year. And if you manage to squeeze in those 12 grapes in those 12 seconds before the new year, your life was golden.
Wow. So how did you go? Well, clearly you're living here, so obviously amazing.
Lucky. I got into the lucky country. I was lucky there. And I still haven't been jabbed with this poison. So that was pretty good. That was one of my grapes. We'll see how the other ones turn out. Hopefully I won't have any sour grapes.
Oh, I like that. Very nice.
So any big news for the new year, Sam? Any big plans that you have?
Look, I'm a father of a 20-month-old toddler. So we're not really staying up till midnight. We're going to get him settled and just have a nice chilled night, I think, on New Year's Eve.
Any fireworks?
That's how we got in this position, mate.
All right. There you go. You heard it here, listeners.
No more fireworks. There's dry grass around, mate. We're not letting anything off.
Playing it cool. Yeah, you don't want to spark anything out there right now. It's pretty dry and dusty and windy. It's been really windy the last couple of days.
It's been horrid. It's an unnatural wind. That's a conversation for another time.
Yeah, that's our other podcast. Check out Prison Colony Weather. Have an eye out for that podcast. 2 hours of us talking about the wind gusts in the various states of Australia. But no, just kidding, listeners. This is our only podcast. Sam and the Vaxman, we're here to bring you news, happenings, updates, what's happening in the prison colony, trying to educate you as to how our lives are being tyrannically oppressed very subtly, but in a day-by-day fashion where you end up where we are, you know, not even able to go to a hospital to see your loved ones, not able to have more than 10 people in your house over Christmas and New Year's. Just insane stuff for a virus that has killed a 93-year-old. Tragically, but just one death among, what are we at, like 20,000, 30,000 cases now? And those are people who go to these tents and have a stick poked up their nose, who are not necessarily sick. They just positive for the Omicron. So enough ranting, enough raving. We'll leave it there. We'll see you in the new year, listeners. This has been the Vax Man.
And this is Sam.
We are PCR, Prison Colony Resistance.
Where you come to get your PCR test for truth.